Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You've reached another episode with the four elements. This is your boy Earth.
This is Wind.
And this is Water.
Yeah, so today, on today's show, we want to have a conversation about greatness and what is greatness and what greatness is and what greatness is not. I guess we'll probably go down that road. And also, you know, have a conversation about greatness in a way that you may or may not have thought about greatness. So what do you guys think about that?
I guess I'll set it off today. For me, I think greatness is really being who you are and living an authentic life and being in alignment with your purpose and passion. I think that's the only way that you can actually live a powerful life. Anybody that is tuned in to who they are, you know, really performs well in their lives. I mean, we talk about Michael Jordan all the time. He loved basketball. He loved the sport. He loved the game. He studied it. He studied the greats. He practiced, you know, incessantly, tirelessly. I mean, he listened to coaches. I mean, he did so much, you know, just to perform at a great level. And he, in my opinion, he's one of the greatest basketball, if not the greatest basketball player that's ever played the game.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I asked the question to you guys first because I just wanted to see what your thoughts were. Because, you know, really, well, let me back up because we didn't get water. What you got over there, Water?
Yeah, I mean, ditto of what Wynn said. I mean, to me, I guess if you're just asking what greatness is that what the question is?
Yeah, like what do you think of greatness? Yeah, what is greatness? What is greatness for you?
Yeah, what I think of it? As far as greatness goes, it's just one of those things to me that is, you know, I kind of look at greatness as a constant striving towards. You know, it's just one of those things where you're never there. In, I think it's Japan, if I'm not mistaken, called Kaizen, where it's basically the constant improvement of things. So in a business, for instance, they'll constantly be improving the business processes so that you always finding for something that you can tweak, hone, redefine, distill. You know, you're just trying to figure out those things. I don't think greatness is really a list of accomplishments, personally. I look at it in terms of, you know, greatness is a journey almost. And that journey is never really, it's like the never-ending story, basically. I mean, because if you look at people who have achieved, quote, unquote, greatness, they never were really going after a particular thing. You know, like your Steve Jobs or your Tiger Woods or your Tom Brady or your, the list goes on, Serena Williams. I mean, you're not talking about people who are going after a particular thing. You know, everyone's talking about Serena, who's, you know, ancient for her sport. She's just ancient, you know, to be producing at a top level like she is. However, she is producing at that level. And everyone's talking about the records that she can possibly break and all this stuff. I don't know Serena. And honestly, I haven't even listened to a single interview for Serena ever in my life. But one thing that, you know, I actually would argue is that Serena's not chasing Steffi Graf's record or Margaret Court's record. I mean, Serena's actually just looking for a constant level of either high intensity, massive output, to where she just totally, at this point, makes it look effortless, where she's dominating the sport, or she's just never really satisfied with her game and always going to either maintain it at that level or to find that one thing that she could wear, she can just improve her game even that much more. And to me, that's what my thoughts on greatness are.
So, yeah, so that's it's interesting. Well, actually, both of you all have interesting thoughts of greatness, and I'll say, you know, what my view of greatness is that greatness exists, you know, solely within a cultural context. Because you mentioned Steve Jobs, you know, and Serena Williams, though they are great or they've achieved greatness, but it's only within our cultural context and how we define greatness. Because you could take them and put them in another culture, and that could be perceived as mediocrity. Or you can take someone else who's great in another culture and bring them into our culture, and if whatever arena they were great in, it could easily be perceived as mediocrity. So I think greatness definitely exists within a cultural context itself. And greatness is really what it's really strive, you know, continually to strive for, like, what's next in exercising or exposing whatever your gifts, whatever your talents are, or whatever you're pursuing. Because you can have someone, and I think it's also centered around, you know, where your talents are. Because you can have someone who, for example, a doctor. You have someone who achieves this greatness as a doctor, but you have someone in the same field who is working just as hard, and they may not be able to achieve the same level of greatness. So I think greatness is definitely culturally based, and it's really based upon, you know, the individual's potential. So that's my view. So what y'all got?
I can't imagine a context or a culture where Serena Williams wouldn't be regarded as great. I think there's a distinction between greatness and importance or significance. And I don't think that I just can't see anybody diminishing the feats that she's accomplished and the amount of energy that she's exhausted to get to where she is. Will you address that? Will you respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, like, from my opinion, that, you know, people can acknowledge the work that someone puts into doing something and still not consider that as being great. Because, like you said, important. The thing is the importance that it has on the culture. And it could be viewed as, oh, okay, well, she put a lot of work in that. You know, that's cool. As opposed to, oh, there's importance in this area in my culture, and it's actually exalted or raised up to a high level of greatness.
Okay, gotcha. So we do agree that there's a distinction between greatness and significance or importance. And that the impact of an individual their feats might not necessarily impact that particular culture, that particular society, to the extent where they might be regarded by that those people as great.
And you know, one of the things I enjoyed hearing, not enjoy hearing, but one of the things that I liked that Kobe said, this was years ago when he was young, in his 20s. He said he actually enjoyed traveling internationally because nobody knew who he was, meaning they knew about his accomplishments, but they had no relevance in the culture. And he said
exactly.
He loved that.
Exactly.
Yeah, they knew he was a basketball player from the United States, but you know, he said most places he went, nobody cared about that. It was like, oh, okay. And just, it didn't mean anything. It wasn't important.
Right.
And he
right.
said he loved that about traveling because he could walk around and go anywhere without, you know, security. So, yeah. So what you got over there, Water? You been kind of quiet.
I mean, I don't really have anything to say about the Kobe thing. You know, but as far as conversation in general, I think that I honestly never really, for me, it personally doesn't do anything for me to talk about, like, my opinions of stuff. Like, so I'm not really interested in, you know, talk about my opinion of what greatness is. I really rather would talk about what are some of the things that you guys think, or I guess we collectively think, are some of the things that we think are components of greatness that, you know, people might can actually find useful to, you know, in their own strive for greatness. Like, to me, I think that's kind of one of the things I'm curious to see if we can actually explore that. In this whole conversation, like, what do you guys think are some of the components of greatness? That it doesn't matter in what arena. I mean, we talk a lot about sports. I mean, I get it, we're dudes. But, you know, there's greatness all around us in all different kinds of aspects of life. And I think that depending on whatever the arena is, I think there are certain themes that each of those either individuals have, organizations have, or cultures have, or whatever it is you know, that could be something that's, like I was saying, that could be distilled down to a few things where we can actually walk away with something that we could say, yeah, you know, those are components of greatness. Maybe someone may want to incorporate that into their lives, or maybe not. But what do you guys think of some of those elements of greatness?
Well, what do you mean by, well, I'm thinking about elements of greatness, and for me, it's based upon the person.
Well, I can actually
not,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I didn't know.
Okay.
I mean, I can generalize if that's what you want to do. But I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. I apologize.
No, you can go ahead.
I think that one of the things that, you know, facilitates greatness or creates a pathway of greatness is really exploring life, really seeing exactly what you don't like and what you do like, and then ultimately making a decision on some of the things that you do like and focusing on those a few things and dedicate yourself such that you become a master and really focus. Really exert, put your entire being, your entire focus, your entire energy behind that. And, you know, great things will happen. You know, practice and, you know, study it and get some coaching around it. You know, listen to people that have done it before you and, you know, glean from their experience and take it to another level. And I think that will create, you know, a pathway for extraordinary accomplishment and greatness in those, in that particular area or those particular areas.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And just to add to that, man, I would say that, you know, what I've observed, you know, in my study of greatness is I think this is one of the first things he talks about in Think and Grow Rich. These people have, like, a burning desire, man. Like, it's not even lukewarm, man. This thing is, like, just so hot, so on fire type desire, man, that I've heard, like, someone say that before, is that, you know, when you have that kind of desire, actually it was Steve Jobs who said that, you know, anything that you undertake in life, you in order to be really, quote, successful, unquote, he says that you have to love it. And he says the reason why is because any sane person would quit, any sane person would give up once it got hard, because he says that it gets so hard at some time and point that the only way you're going to really make it through there is if you really love it. And your love for it will actually pull you or push you, whichever direction you want. It'll get you through those difficult times, those hard times. And that's kind of in a nutshell of what I would say is one of the things that no matter what arena that you're actually striving for greatness, or, you know, you're actually looking for greatness and you desire greatness in there, is that burning desire, that love, that passion. You know, to me, all of those are pretty much very similar. They may not be the same, but they're very, very similar. And those things are really, in my opinion, what drives people. And, you know, really, really drives people. I mean, look at Serena. I mean, it's not chasing records for her, man. It wasn't money. Like, she's one of the most, I think she's the most winningest female as far as money goes, like, just straight up from purse, you know, like, in this, but that's her money that she makes off of just the wins. And then who knows how much she's made over endorsements over the years. So, you know, it couldn't have been money that kept her doing it. Like, at an age where you're considered ancient and your body's, you know, going through, you know, your body starts to break down, and, you know, you got these younger players who are, like, in their teens who can, you know, just sustain all kind of other, you know, things and do things that your body can't just because, you know, your body's getting older or whatever. And, you know, so to me, it just, and I'm going off of, like you were saying, a generalization or assumption. It's just that love that, you know, that she has for the game. And that's just one example that I can think of off the top of my head. But there's many, 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 many more people who are either experiencing greatness or, you know, a part of greatness. And I think that that passion, that love, that burning desire that he talks about in Think and Grow Rich is a huge component of it all. Huge component.
So when you all talk about greatness, like, this is what pops in my mind. Is it greatness in that, in from the context of being better than someone else, or is it greatness in what's the context of greatness?
Not necessarily better than, but just outstanding. You know, there's somebody that's exemplary. I mean, just take Dr. King. I mean, he was an extraordinary man. He was exemplary. Not saying that he was perfect, but his capacity to communicate and galvanize people to take action and to organize and structure movements to effectuate change made him great. I mean, we could talk about Michael Jordan, but we could talk about Ben Carson as well. I mean, Ben Carson, he studied, neuroscience to the extent way beyond a lot of people. I mean, he came from tremendously humble beginnings and really worked his ass off to accomplish the things that he's accomplished. I mean, he was one of the first to perform, surgeries of the brain successfully, separating Siamese twins and some other feats. I mean, we could talk about artists. We could talk about Michael Jackson. You know, we could talk about Prince. You know, what makes them great. I mean, it's the tenacity, the energy that they expend to hone their craft and to master their craft and perform for the world. I mean, these are traits that transcend a particular genre. They actually go beyond sports and entertainment, but you can actually generalize and really look at great people in all aspects of life, and you'll see the amount of focus, the amount of practice, the amount of energy that's exerted, the decisions that they've made to move forward with what they love.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I get. I have a better understanding of where you all are coming from as it relates to greatness. So I'll say, like, for me, first I see, you know, greatness in people. It's just regular, ordinary people just doing the extraordinary thing. To me, that's what it just breaks it down to that, and. You know, in achieving that greatness or how to achieve that greatness, I don't think there's one formula to achieve it. I mean, because you have conversations with people who, quote unquote, achieved, you know, a level of greatness, and how they achieved it or the path they took to achieve it is going to be different. And that's why sometimes I'm weary about using a definition for something, for instance, for greatness, that someone else has defined and how to achieve it, because they're primarily talking about the path that they took or what it took for them, and that'll work for a given group of people, but I argue it doesn't work. It may not work for everybody, because there's not one straight way to achieve anything in life at all. There's a multitude of different directions that people can go to achieve something. And in this instance, to achieve whatever greatness that was set for them to achieve.
Yeah,
some people
question.
May not have that burning desire, but they may have somebody behind them pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And they achieve greatness in that way. But they may not have some burning desire to do it. But go ahead, I'm sorry. You were saying something.
Yeah, I wasn't. I don't think I said anything about a formula. I didn't even ask for a definition. I was saying characteristics or traits or qualities, you know. I mean, I get where you're coming from. More instead of us having a philosophical conversation about greatness and, you know, like, you know, just I don't know. I'm thinking more practical wise, like what have you observed and whatever it is you consider great, what are some of the qualities, the characteristics, or traits that you've observed in those people, or organizations, or whatever it is that you perceive as great? Because, I mean, yeah, perception is reality. So we could sit here and have a conversation about how perception is reality, and shit, you know, whatever your perception is going to be different than mine. So, you know, we could talk about that all day. I'm under the assumption that we all know that. I'm more or less saying, okay, now that we all know that, okay, so what are some of the the qualities, characteristics, traits of what you perceived as great, you know, things that you perceived as great that have happened. That, I think that was really what the question was, more along the lines of not trying to define what greatness is, because even though I like what you came with, Wynn, I think that's a great way of, you know, not necessarily defining greatness, but if someone's like, what are you guys meaning by greatness, I think that's a great way to actually lay it across. Does that make sense, Earth? Because I wasn't asking, I wasn't saying.
No,
like,
it makes sense. I wasn't challenging whether or not you said this is the formula or not. I think for all of our conversations, when we say, when we quote someone, I think it's important to say, well, this is not just the only way to do something, because it's just like weight loss. For example, people may get frustrated because they're following some formula for weight loss and it's not working. Well, it's not working for them, but it's working for a lot of other people. And there may be something else that works for this other person. That's the only thing I'm saying. So when we quote people and say, oh, Steve Jobs said blah, 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 and I'm not saying that you said it's a formula, so I'm going to be clear about that. But I think we need to be aware that of our audience and saying, okay, like, this is just what he did and what worked for him, but what you do may be something totally different. That's all I was saying. But, yeah, I get what you were saying.
From a practical perspective, I think that one of the most important things to have is optimism. You know, really believing that whatever you want to achieve is possible. Because without that, I don't believe that you can actually successfully engage what you're trying to achieve. A lot of people, I think, you know, really diminish the importance of being optimistic and really believing that things are possible. And if you, you know, begin there with a concentrated effort to make certain that your thoughts are consistently positive and, again, optimistic, I think that's a great way to start.
Yeah, I agree. Having optimism, you know, definitely makes a difference. Because, like you said, you have to believe that, or at least believe, acknowledge, or whatever you want to call it, that whatever you want to achieve is possible.
Because your actions are going to correlate with your context, how you see things, how you think.
Yeah, you know, this whole self-image thing, man, that I've really been paying attention to as I've been having conversations with the past month. And, you know, I'd say that you have to also, you have to have a different perspective on failure is really my whole thing. You know, in the book Psycho-Cybernetics, they talk about this thing called our, for lack of a better way, they just say the way that we actually learn to do things, okay, the way we figure out things. And they basically give the example, if you were in a dark room and you had to find an object on the table, reach for the table first, and then once your hand got on the table, you would start to reach around and kind of pat on the table. So after five times, you just really made five failures. And so what ends up happening is a lot of times, and then I guess what they say is that, you know, so then you keep reaching around until you actually reach the object on the table. And so you could have gone through 20, 30, 50 failures before you actually got to that particular object. And that, like, that would be how you actually found the object. But however, in our own personal lives, like when we actually attempt things, what ends up happening is we actually look at failure as a finality, where we don't realize failure is just feedback. Well, I guess what the popular, I guess the, you know, the current belief of what failure is, that really is, that's just feedback saying to you, okay, that's not it. Either try something different or try the same thing with a slightly different twist. However, stopping is not the way, like when you get your hand on the table and it's not there the first time and you pat your hand once to try to reach for the object and it's not there, you don't just stop. And so, like, to me, I think that, you know, another huge component for, you know, greatness is that just you have to, like, readjust your perception of failure, because those miniature failures are pretty much necessary in order for you to either change things, tweak things, reinvent things, whatever it is that needs to happen, so you can actually get to either the destination you choose or a different destination.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on that, you know, I would say that another big thing that has people be deemed great and to really succeed in life is courage. And courage is simply taking action despite any fear. Taking action despite any past mistakes or missteps. In order to really, you know, press beyond your capacity and get to a different level, in order to have what you really, really want and desire, it's going to require you to have courage. It's going to require you to take action, take consistent action, despite your fears, your reservations, beyond your mistakes.
Yeah,
courage is a big thing.
Yeah, I like that. Courage, you're right. I agree with that. Courage is a huge thing because, you know, a lot of times when you know, people look at someone who's done something courageous, you know, that person wasn't like, I'm about to do something courageous. They just kind of really acted and just did what they had to do at that particular moment. You know, it's not like they, you know, they basically put on their courageous hat and said, okay, it's time for me to be courageous. They just kind of did what they had to do at that moment. And, you know, I like what you said about sometimes it's in the face of fear, where they just did exactly what, you know, they were totally horrified of doing, but they just went ahead and did it.
Wow. So, I guess my question would be, like, how does that look in reality, like, for a person to be able to look fear in the face and press forward?
How it looks is, you know, you look at a mountain. How do you climb a mountain? You don't look down. You look at the mountain, you put your left hand up, put your right foot up, and keep moving forward. You don't look down. You keep going.
Yeah, it doesn't get any more simple than that. I mean, that's exactly it, you know. I mean, there's no real way to say how you actually overcome your fear. You know, I like the acronym about fear, how they say that fear is false evidence appearing real. And, you know, so many times after we do something that we actually feared, we realize that our fear was really unfounded anyway. So that's what
Yeah, fear is only us talking to ourselves, trying to talk ourselves out of it, or listening to other people from their experience, trying to talk us out of it. there's no no real basis, you know, for fear. I mean, of course people have made mistakes, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that their mistakes are to be projected or attributed to your life. Just because your aunt Jane marriage didn't work out doesn't mean that your marriage is not going to work out. Just because your mother's relationship, you know, with John, you know, didn't work out doesn't mean that your relationships are not going to work out. We have an issue with projecting, you know, fear on one another. And, you know, just like you said, it's not even true. It may have been true for that particular person for that particular time. Mistakes are temporary. Experiences are temporary. But just one experience doesn't create a totality of your life. So you can't allow one experience or somebody else's experience paralyze you.
So just to really summarize or sum up what we've gotten as it relates to greatness is like one, and it sounds like one of the primary things of achieving greatness is, you know, getting beyond fear and being able to move beyond fear. And I would say, and I would like to add to what Wynn said, as a, you know, when he said just it's just like climbing a mountain, you know, one foot in front of, you know, just don't look down. And, you know, I like to add to that, which is perfect what he said, and having a team of people with you when you're climbing. I mean, you just climb, even with climbing a mountain, it's not going to be done by yourself or alone. And I think just adding, you know, a team of people, a support team with you to help you along the way, or your climb into, or your journey into your greatness is significant to achieving that. Because having someone who will hold you accountable for your greatness, I think is key to accomplishing the greatness, along with, you know, definitely having the optimism, you know, and having the will to move forward, even if you don't, like, those people will serve the purpose, like, one of the purposes those people will serve, rather, is actually being able to move you forward when you don't have the will, and to push you when you don't have the will, when it looks bleak on your journey. Because at times it may or may not look bleak, or you may get tired, or it may occur as though things aren't working. And having people who can look at it from, look at whatever you're attempting to achieve, you know, from outside of it instead of from inside of it is pivotal. It's very pivotal.
I would say, you know, making a concerted effort to actually face your fears on a daily basis might prove productive. If you have a fear of, you know, public speaking, you know, go join Toastmasters or go make a friend and begin to talk. And you with facing that fear will have you get outside of that box and beyond that fear, and actually you'll be more articulate and eloquent than ever. Things like that. I mean, if you have a relationship issue, or if a relationship didn't work out and you have the feeling or the sense that you're not lovable, or you know, that men are just no good, and intend to prove yourself wrong, and intend to face that fear, and go out and do something that is abnormal for you. Get outside of your comfort zone, and see what happens. And I'm sure that you'll find somebody that's in alignment with who you are, and you'll, I mean, if you are intentional about it and you're not a jerk and you actually are flexible within inside a relationship, then I'm sure that you'll have a powerful and healthy relationship moving forward. Just do something different. Be willing to go outside of your comfort zone. I think that one of the most one of the things that great people do is really being comfortable with being uncomfortable. Really going outside their comfort zone and going beyond what they see or they perceive their current capacity. I mean, whenever somebody goes in the gym and pumps weight, they go into, you know, what they call get swole. You know, it's beyond the muscle mass they have right now. And it requires you to, you know, face that head on, take it on.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. What you got over there, Water? You've been a little quiet.
So talking,
yeah, like if we go ahead.
I was gonna say if Water was talking, you may have yourself on mute and we can't hear you.
I absolutely did have myself on mute. Yeah, so you know, I was asking, I was like, so what direction did the conversation go? Like, I actually I got dropped, so tell me what we were saying so I could say something relevant. I don't want to just start talking about something like and pretend like I know where the conversation segue to.
Well, what you may have missed is that I was saying that, you know, what great people do is actually face their fears and, you know, are comfortable with being uncomfortable and simply go beyond their current capacity to take it to the next level.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. And concept from the book, Who Moved My Cheese, which is basically, you know, a lot of people just hate change. And the one thing about change is that, you know, or the one thing about time is time equals change. I mean, very few things stay the same over as time begins to go more and more, very few things stay the same. And so what I would say is, I completely agree with you, is that you have to embrace change, really, I think, is the bigger issue of it, because a lot of times it's so uncomfortable for us to do things different, like when things change. It's like, oh, my God. And that's what, like I said, the book, Who Moved My Cheese, that's kind of really what it focuses on, is how we put up so much resistance to changing instead of going out to sniff the change, going out to embrace the change. And so just to piggyback on what you were saying about that, I think that change is a huge one as well for us to go out and embrace and see. And, you know, sniff out is really the way that, you know, I see it, is like when you start to sniff out change, you're able to really, you're just in a different space than a huge percentage of the population.
Yeah, I always say, you know, be open and receptive to life. I mean, there's a great variety across the planet Earth. I mean, you know, eat Mexican food, eat Mediterranean food, you know, eat pizza, and, you know, go eat Indian food. I mean, and I say that as a metaphor, but just experience the variety of life. I mean, there's so much that this world has to offer. There's so many thoughts and perspectives on a variety of things. There's all sorts of ways of living and being across the planet. And, you know, just, you know, enjoy your life. Whatever you, you know, you think you're dealing with, you know, try to find a way to just simply let it go and stretch out beyond what seems immediate and look at the grand scheme of things. In the grand scheme of things, whatever you may be dealing with is really petty. I mean, it might seem significant to you, but, you know, look at it from a larger perspective. There's so much available to you in life. I mean, the $30,000 job you got, the $40,000 job you got. I mean, there's so many libraries that's available for you to actually learn about making money. I mean, and you don't even have to go to a library. What the beautiful thing is that we have iPhones and MacBooks and information that's easily accessible to us. You can learn about all sorts of things on YouTube to allow you to, that will facilitate you breaking the chains and having a life that you never would have imagined. But you have to seek it. You have to go for it. You have to know that it's out there and really ask for it. And be diligent about going, pursuing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, I want to add on to what you said, Wynn, and water. Like, one of the things is not having the expectation for your greatness to look a certain way. Or your journey to your greatness to look a certain way. It's just going to look how it looks. And like you said, when, just be with life how it is. And I think that will afford people an opportunity to, A, learn something new, and B, accomplish their greatness with the on the pathway of least resistance. When you can be with it how it is and not have to have it look a certain way. So I think that makes a huge difference.
In how we go on our journeys. Achieve greatness. And that doesn't mean it's, you know, that you'll always want to be with life how it is, but just being with, and I guess this for me, this is where it becomes important to have, you know, support, because that affords you an opportunity to get that other perspective and possibly, you know, be in and allow you to be with life how it is, getting it the viewpoint of someone else outside of yourself, outside of the conversation that you may be having with yourself about yourself and what you're dealing with on your journey. And you may not, you know, you may not quit or you may quit. But, you know, you'll be in a place where you have support and hopefully be able to be with whatever situation shows up how it is. And just being with favorable situations in the same way that you would be with a situation that you would consider as being unfavorable to you. Because
the truth of it is there's no difference between the two. It's just a perception, and I think it was Wynn that said earlier, being optimistic about it. And I think being optimistic about it can afford you a degree of viewing your situation as it's not necessarily favorable or unfavorable, but just this is just what I have to go through to get from A to Z.
You actually said a key word, and the key word that I heard from you was expectations. And the reason why I say that's a key word is because I see a lot of people actually get trapped and paralyzed patients. Let me just give you an example. Single mother, two kids, has the expectation that the boyfriend or the husband ought to be paying alimony and child support, right? And so they get caught up in the emotional drama of that expectation when it's not met. Whereas they can actually be channeling that energy and actually creating avenues for themselves to generate enough funds or enough resources to actually make certain that the family is well. And I'm not saying that, you know, that these guys ought not be paying or ought not be supporting their families. What I'm saying is that there's an adverse impact to the emotional drama of it all, the expectation that somebody ought to be doing something for you. Another example is that if you work for a company, you have the expectation that your company ought to be taking very good care of you and compensating you well. And when that expectation is not met, then you begin to slump in your performance, and then the next thing you know, they actually are packing up your stuff and boxing it up and, you know, kicking you out of your cube or your desk. So we have to manage our expectations. We have to manage our what I really want to say is that as opposed to being at the effect of life or the effect of people or at the effect of an institution, to actually be empowered to, you know, create your life. You know, have the life that you want. Don't be at the effect of it or the effect of an individual or the effect of an institution. Create an institution. Create the family that you want. Create the vision that you want and systematically follow steps to actually have the outcome that you want. That's how great people live. Great people don't live at the effect of life. They don't worry about individuals or institutions. They make things happen.
It's almost like you're taking full responsibility for things. And I guess since we have just about less than 4 minutes left, I guess, you know, what I'd like to leave everybody with is, you know, to summarize what I heard from Wendt saying is, hey, just take full responsibility. You know, take 100% responsibility for life, whether it's something that, hey, Wendt, I mean, Earth, man, you need to do that. Whether it's whatever it is in your life, you're just taking responsibility for it, so you're not actually the one who is, at, like you're saying, at effect, or I guess the better way is you don't have a victim story about it all, where you're just like, oh, man, you know, I didn't get that promotion because of them or this circumstance that was out of my control. No, it was all under your control all the time. It's just whether you actually want to take that perspective and you want to actually get in the driver's seat of life or whether you want to be in the past to see it in life. Or what you want to leave everybody with, man.
So, yeah, so I just want to leave everybody with, and what you said was perfect, actually, from my perspective, and what you want to leave everybody with. And I just want to, for me, I just want to just reiterate, when you're journeying to your greatness, just, A, don't make any of it mean anything about you. Don't make it personal. And the part I want to reiterate is, as you're journeying, don't have the expectation that it should look a certain way. Just be with it pretty much how it is. And a lot of times there's nothing to do about that, but just be with it. Sometimes there's no action to take to avert a situation. Sometimes just being with the situation as it is, you know, there's something favorable for you on the other side of just being with the situation how it is, and especially on your journey being with people how they are, because people are just, in my opinion, people are just put in your way on your journey, put in your way on your journey to help you along the way, whether it looks like, you know, this person is benefiting you or the person isn't benefiting you. It's all a part of what you've created, like Wynn said, you know, creating a life, what you've created, you know, what happens in the middle, it's just what happens in the middle, the people that show up in the middle, or just the people that show up in the middle, just be with them like that. So that's what I want to leave people with. What you got over there, Wynn?
What I want to leave with people with is, you know, live a curious life. Live a question-based life. You know, if things are not working in the manner in which you want them to work, stand inside the inquiry as to, what can I do better? What is it that I can input into this situation to improve this situation for myself? How is it, what do I need to get from A to Z? You know, am I doing the very best that I can do right now? Really question yourself, challenge yourself. And if you're honest about in your response, and if you're willing to be diligent to take the corrective measures or to implement something new, then I guarantee you that your life will begin to unfold in ways you never imagined. And you'll have a great life. Live a question-based life. Be curious about life. Be appreciative. Be grateful. Be optimistic.
Earth, you want to take us out, man?
Perfect. So with that being said, I just want to thank everybody for joining us tonight and being in the conversation with us. And I really, really hope that you got something out of this the dialogue we had tonight, because I certainly did. So join us next week at the same time on Sunday. I don't know Sunday's date. But anyway, join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. For another episode with the Four Elements. Have a good week.